Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
I think it's less of a threat now than it was maybe earlier in the week. And in the latest forecast models, I was looking at Morgan Palmer's email to us with the kind of the synopsis of what's going to be happening. And it sounds like it's the bigger threat is really the very cold temperatures.
It's going to get cold.
Yeah, it's going to be very cold. But there might be a teeny tiny bit of snow in some locations. Lots of snow in the mountains.
I mean, listening to Durkin, it's... You know, we got to get our shovels and check at our neighbors. It could be devastating.
I know, and I heard that some stores, you know, are getting people buying lots of bread.
Yep. I saw a story last night about there's a run at hardware stores. What's going on here? You know what it is, Ursula?
I'd rather be safe than sorry. How's that?
Feminization of America.
Stop.
I want to get it at least once an hour today. So, yeah, we'll see. I guess we'll see. So
it's there's nothing wrong with a feminization, by the way.
Yeah, it is. If you feminize men, that's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing for society and for families and for achievement. It's a horrible thing. Men have unique skill sets. So do women. We are unique and beautiful and wonderful in our
own
way.
Sure. We're all unique and wonderful, yes.
Stop trying to make us each other. That's all I'm saying.
That's with the snow?
Yes! Yes! What? What, Nicole?
I'm just trying to figure out, what do you want Sean to have for the big lead for story?
Oh,
is this the exclusive?
Yeah, this one. I'm giving him a hand signal right now. We're going to talk to the MP, Morgan Palmer.
Yes, 215, so he can straighten us all out.
Yeah. Because I bet when we talk to Morgan, he's going to tell us it's probably not going to snow. That's my guess. But I haven't talked to him.
Can I interject?
Wait. Here's Tracy.
Can I interject on that one?
Uh-huh.
We might be going on at 4 a.m. on Monday. So I'm just going to throw that one out there for you.
It'll be icy.
Yeah. Of course it's going to be icy.
It's going to be really cold next week.
Dory, some places will get snow just like they did this morning.
Yeah, Snohomish County got it pretty good to this morning.
And on the east side, too.
But Jenny, I'm talking about Jenny Durkin.
Oh, you just don't like the sound of that shovel, which is actually Hannah trying to enhance the story.
We have to shovel our sidewalks, we can't move heroin needles off the sidewalks.
You know what I hope? Huh. I hope up in that area where you live, mm-hmm. that beautiful area where you live, you just get a big dumping of snow like you love.
Yeah.
And you just can't get out of the driveway.
I would love that. But you know what? I'll still be here. I'll be here one way or the other because I know how to move around in the snow.
Lucky you. You don't have to deal with hills. Right. And that's not feminization of anything.
I don't have to deal with hills. No, I know the route to take to minimize the impact of hills. I got tons of hills around my place. Jeez. I know how to deal with this stuff.
I'll come pick you up, Dory.
I don't need your help.
Okay, sorry. Then I won't. I won't.
I'll take help in case I'm snowed in.
Jeez.
So anyway, Morgan will straighten us out.
Well, wait. No, Jenny Durkin's going to straighten us out. Let's get some advice from her again.
Don't expect your neighborhood will be plowed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We will do what we can.
And even if we don't get a lot of snow, we do have freezing temperatures to deal with.
If we get freezing rain, that can be death for our electricity lines. So check your flashlight, recharge your electronics, have some candles and warm blankets.
I would suggest that everybody right now just start driving south, okay? I don't know how far you have to go, but just start driving south. You may end up in Palm Desert, and there's nothing wrong with that, believe me. But I think it's time to move to warmer climes here. Let me find some more Jenny Durkins, because I'm fascinated by this. And I saw some other sound bites here with her. So the story apparently is, it may dip below freezing in the wintertime here. But we're getting lots of good advice from our mayor. Here's some more from her.
We want to make sure we're ready as a city, because not only do we think that snow can come, but it could bring ice, freezing rain, cold temperatures.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Does snow bring the freezing temperatures, or do the freezing temperatures bring the snow? Cause is not correlation.
If you don't have your snow shovel yet, maybe you should go get one. If you don't have salt, it might be a good time to check on it. Do your flashlights have batteries? We hope we don't lose power, but if we get freezing rain, that can be death for our electricity lines. So check your flashlight, recharge your electronics, have some candles and warm blankets.
Now, the salt that I'm going to get, should I get the kosher salt or the sea salt?
No, don't be pulling out your Morton salt and like, yeah, no.
No, not that?
No.
How about, you know what? I have a little of that pink salt.
Oh, the Himalayan stuff.
Yeah.
That's spendy.
Yeah. You know what that is? It's the feminization of salt.
Dory. Hello.
So anyway, yeah, I'm gonna get my kosher salt out this weekend. And anyway, so I'm all ready for the snow that's coming and that's going to get cold in the wintertime here. But the thing is, and again, we'll see.
In all seriousness, though, on the cold thing. No, in on the cold thing.
Yeah. Yes.
If the temperature's all week, I mean, I hope there's no snow.
Mm-hmm.
If the temperature's all week, the high, I know you.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm the laughing stock of the Northwest by the middle part of next week.
If the high never goes above, below
32.
Freezing,
yeah,
that's no good. There's a lot of people, you know, not prepared for that. A lot of people living out on the street.
I agree. But, you know, services are available for everyone who's out on the street. If they accept them, they are available. They do have a place to get everybody inside if they accept. But the other thing that's weird to me is this. You will be ticketed if you don't shovel your sidewalk. Have you seen the sidewalks around the courthouse and in Pioneer Square?
You're not talking about snow.
I'm talking about humanity. And we allow tents, we allow feces, we allow needles, but if we don't shovel our sidewalk, we're going to get a ticket.
I think it's $50.
Should the city of Seattle get tickets for not keeping the sidewalks clear? Because
make a good point.
I mean, there are. I heard a couple of months ago from a disabled person who was trying to get somewhere in Pioneer Square.
Very hard.
Had to cross the street. Because the sidewalk was from curb to building filled with tents and tarps and everything else. And I think the city of Seattle should ticket themselves if they don't keep the sidewalks clear. But they have no moral authority to ticket us for not shoveling snow if they won't keep sidewalks clear themselves. It doesn't make any sense.
I actually want to know how many tickets have actually been issued during a snowstorm, as if that could be a priority. Seeing how we respond when there actually is snow.
I'd love to know, because we talk all the time that we've got two systems of justice, one for the taxpayers and one for people who are, you know, are on the streets and abusing drugs and all of that. But again, City of Seattle, don't tell us we got to keep sidewalks clear when you refuse to keep sidewalks clear. I would love. No, I wouldn't. But if I got one of those tickets, it'd be so easy to challenge with just that argument. How can they ticket me for not keeping a sidewalk clear when they refuse to do it on the sidewalks in front of municipal buildings? I don't understand what judge would uphold a ticket. But then I realized I'd have to take the time to go down to court to fight my righteous cause, and I don't have that kind of time.
I just don't know that there are going to be that many tickets issued for that.
Let's see. So I'm getting all kinds of stuff about this. $50 for residential homeowners, $250 for business.
Right.
Okay. We ready? Ready to go with our guy? Oh, he's not. I thought we were going to talk to Morgan Palmer. Let's talk to our other guest. Okay, got it. All right. Maybe we'll try and catch up with Morgan in a few minutes. But we do have another issue that we can exclusively tell you about right now.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
As you know, I've long said that Bob Ferguson is quite simply the most dangerous politician that I've ever seen around here in 25 years. I've been watchdogging local politics, but I've never seen a politician who is supposed to be in charge of the state's legal office and justice is supposed to be blind, but he just goes after people that he disagrees with, and he offers a protection racket for the people that he disagrees with or that he thinks will be necessary for his future political ambitions. Absolutely dangerous in an attorney general. A group was trying to get Bob Ferguson out of office. The group's called Washington 3%. Matt Marshall joins me. So you're trying to get Bob Ferguson impeached, Matt?
Well, we're trying to qualify to perform a statewide citizens recall.
Okay. All right. And so you had your day in court this morning. What happened?
Well, this morning, unfortunately, the judge determined that we were required to show all proof on our initial filing with the Secretary of State and dismissed 60 pages of evidence that we submitted earlier in the week and then dismissed the case.
So they said it was dismissed for insufficient evidence, but they wouldn't consider 60 pages of evidence?
That is correct.
So what was in that 60 pages? I mean, you just heard how I feel about Bob Ferguson, but what's in there that is clears the bar for him to be removed from office in your view?
Yep. So our initial filing stated all of the laws that he had violated, and then item by item in the 60 pages known as Attachment A in the King County filings, gave dates, times, locations, quotes, specifics of every single charge that we had alleged.
Okay, give me a couple of them. Give me the ones that you think are the biggest and most relevant to my listeners of Bob Ferguson's transgressions.
So it was the sponsoring of ballot initiatives while functioning as the chief the chief attorney and legal advisor to the state. So as the executive branch, he was trying to introduce legislation, and then he sponsored, helped with, and supported the initiative process, specifically in I-1639.
Did you have in your documentation his refusal to uphold the state constitution in many areas?
We did. And in this one argument, we cited Article 1, Section 24. We also have accused or alleged and proven multiple conflicts of interest, which we can talk all day on, with the Sound Transit Authority lawsuits and his opposing and personal attacks against Tim Iman, coupled with defending I-976 in court.
And Tim Iman didn't have anything to do with your efforts, right?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, a state income tax is unconstitutional. Clearly, there's no doubt about that. Rob McKenna was willing to rule on that as attorney general. The IRS has ruled on it. Seattle is still pursuing an income tax for the city. Bob Ferguson knows that they can't do that under the state constitution, but he refuses to say anything about it, costing taxpayers millions of dollars in this phony pursuit in the process. But he doesn't want to turn off the radical left that want an income tax. He's afraid that'll hurt him when he runs for governor someday. And for the highest legal office in our state to operate with such absolute partisan politicking, that's very disturbing to me.
Absolutely. He's obviously a corrupt politician. And you know, we were really hoping we get a little more traction with this, but now it's time to support other candidates and make sure he doesn't get reelected.
Okay, well, good luck with that. He's got name recognition, and he's got a D next to his name, so we'll see. I mean, he seems bulletproof, but we'll find out. All right, hey, Matt, so you guys are going to appeal this, I assume?
Actually, we're not. Right now, if we were to have it approved today, we're going to need 9,000 signatures a day for 110 days, and it's going to take us 30 days at least to go through the appeals process, and that's just days we're losing signatures. So, you know, at this point, coming into an election year, it's better use of our resources to find other ways to fight some of the legislation that's coming up and support other candidates.
Okay, just go after his reelection. All right, got it. Matt Marshall, Washington 3%. Appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thanks, Dory.
All right, up next in the big lead. Well, I'm just going to get back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the big lead, and because everybody's all abuzz about the snow possibilities. And let's go to the expert on this. And that's Morgan Palmer, our friend at Cairo 7 News. Hey, Morgan, good to talk to you. I appreciate you coming on with me.
Hey, Dory, hope you have had a good day. Hope it's going to be a good weekend. Go Hawks, and then we will have to deal with what we're going to have to deal with going into next week.
So what are we going to have to deal with? Because I'm hearing our mayor talking about how we got to have salt and shovel our sidewalks. And I've been watching you and Nick on Cairo, Morgan, and you guys have been very measured, it seems. And I'm just hearing stuff from public officials that doesn't seem to be matching up with the experts like you.
Well, let's start with the snow, because everyone wants to know, when is it going to snow? How much? Are we going to have a repeat of what we saw last February? And we could. And I know that that's kind of, we're kind of on the fence about that. But we have several things going on, especially when we go into Sunday and Monday. We have some very dry air coming out of British Columbia. It's going to be plunging south Sunday afternoon, giving us a very, very cold Sunday night and Monday. We're not going to have a whole lot of moisture around at the time, though, but that cold air is going to be coming in so fast that it could cause some spots to get a few inches of snow late in the day on Sunday and into early Monday. Then it looks like we dry out. Here's the problem. Once we go into Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll have some of the coldest temperatures we've seen since November of 2010, Thanksgiving of 2010.
Really? What are the lows going to be?
Low temperature in Seattle. My forecast is 18 degrees on Wednesday morning. We haven't seen that since November 2010. And high temperatures Tuesday and Wednesday. We're talking about the warm spots right around Seattle, the warmest spots, not getting out of the 20s. And we haven't done that 2 days in a row since 2010, Thanksgiving and the day before back in 2010. Obviously, having 48 hours below freezing is going to be a big problem, especially for people who are outside, pets and plants and everything else. Here's the deal. Later next week, beyond Wednesday, especially Thursday, Friday, whenever we get big cold snaps like this that come in and we are locked in the cold for days, sometimes when we start to warm things up, Pacific moisture gets thrown up into the cold air that's in place, and we have snow. And some of the long-range indications are next Thursday or so, give or take, maybe Wednesday night, Thursday into Friday, we could really have to watch for the bigger snow event. And my gut tells me right now, and all of the data I'm looking at, not only short-term and long-term, and history tells us that we might really have to watch when we come out of this big cold blast. But the cold air is going to be something that I think a lot of people aren't really thinking about, because everyone's hearing the S word.
Right, exactly. Okay, so my dream of, because I love snow, Morgan, I would like to see somewhere between 8 and 42 inches of snow.
8 and 42, okay. Yeah. If what we're looking at the end of next week comes about, you might get on the low end of that.
But not the 42?
Probably not the 42.
Dang it.
You know, we've been buried in Seattle before, back in the, what was it, the 20s and again in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, I doubt that we get back there again. But if we have 24 or 36 hours of snow around the area, kind of floating around next Thursday and Friday, you might get quite a bit, but that's just really too early for details.
Right.
We're
know,
sort of looking
you'll
at
know
the
more
line.
As we get close. You know,
exactly.
You know what you've done though, Morgan?
What have I done?
Because I was dismissing the possibilities until I heard from you, but now that you've told me that that's a possibility late in the week, you, Morgan Palmer, have filled me with boyish enthusiasm.
Absolutely. You know, that is my goal here at Cairo 7.
Okay.
But I do want to point out that Sunday night, Monday, we could have some issues out there, and we'll be watching that over the weekend very closely, because that is, of course, first up.
Got it. Okay, Morgan, really appreciate it. Thanks for popping on with me.
You bet, Dory.
Okay, Morgan Palmer, Cairo 7 News, and that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're going to check the news for you, then we'll count down our awesome audio of the week. And number one, I'll just warn you right now, I think it's a contender, or it's the earliest contender for awesome audio of 2020. Okay, straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. Fridays. Love Fridays! I can't mess around today, because I got such a great batch of awesome audio of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the week.
Donald Trump did a big rally in Toledo, Ohio last night. And man, I tell you, that exchange with Iran, we took out terrorists. they sent these phony missile strike. Hey, get in the bunkers. We're sending missiles, you guys. Huge win for America. Stock market's up near 29,000. I just, I'm okay with where the country is. And also, as a radio talk show host, I need audio. And when he does rallies like the one in Toledo last night, well, I appreciate that, too.
Number three.
And we had to make a decision. We didn't have time to call up Nancy, who is not operating with a full deck.
He also talked about his congressional nemesis, Adam Schiff.
Now, they want us to call. Can you imagine calling crooked Adam Schiff? He's so crooked. He's so crooked. Shifty Schiff. Say, gee, Adam, how you doing? Listen, we have the world's number one terrorist. Killed thousands and thousands of people. We'd like to set up a meeting so we can discuss his execution. Would you be willing to meet? Well, I won't be able to make it this week. Well, you know, he's traveling fast. We got him lined up, Adam. You little pencil neck.
Oh,
9 inches. He buys the smallest shirt collar you can get, and it's loose. Now, come on, Adam. We got to meet faster, Adam. We got him lined up. We got to take this guy out.
I'm sorry. I don't want to lose this audio for the next 4 years. Okay, number two, Maxine Waters was pranked by two Russian guys who have a YouTube channel. One pretended to be 16-year-old climate activist Greta Thunberg. The other one was pretending to be Greta's dad, and they actually got Maxine Waters on the phone.
Number two.
He came over, he led it towards me and said softly, "Listen to me carefully, little girl. You will never achieve your goal. Like this congressional fool tried to accuse me."
He said, "You will never achieve your goal?"
He continued.
Oh, my goodness. Did you ask him if he would rethink signing the Paris Agreement? Was that your question to him?
Maxine actually thought this Russian dude was a 16-year-old girl.
Yes, yes, that was. He added that, and you know what? I will tell you the truth. Anyway, I really wanted to push the Ukraine president to put my competitor on trail. And he will go to trail with you, with your bunch of ecology and Democrats. I already have a separate cage for all of you. I was crying.
Oh, my God. Did you cry?
Yes, I was crying. And even I cry now because it's very hard to remember this.
He said that he said
this is supposed to be Greta's dad.
Sure. You know, little girl, nobody believe you anyway.
Maxine Waters thought this was a Swedish accent too, the Russian guys.
I'll tell you the truth. I really pushed on Ukrainian president. And you know that you will never achieve your goals like this congressional fools who accused me. And you know what? So nobody will believe you. You will be in trial like my competitor.
Yes, he added
He mentioned Ukrainian president?
Yes, he said that. And he added, nobody will believe you anyway.
Nobody will believe you anyway. And what else did he say?
That's all.
And it was enough for me. Yes, it was terrible.
It's about a 7-10 minute call, and Maxine just took it hook, line, and sinker. At number one, I happened to be up at 3 a.m. a couple of days ago. And there was the missile strike in Iran, and then they had the airliner that went down and some other troubles. So they had a reporter at Fox News on Fox and Friends in Jerusalem who's kind of summing it all up. Listen to his toss to anchor Steve Doocy, and listen to how close Steve Doocy was paying attention to what the guy had just said.
number one.
Well, Iran dealing with some other major issues today. There was a plane crash in Tehran this morning that killed nearly 180 people on board. And there were also multiple earthquakes in Iran today, one of them near a nuclear power plant, guys.
Right. And Rick, isn't there also a story that there was an earthquake somewhere in Iran as well?
Yeah, I just mentioned, Steve, multiple earthquakes, and one of them was near one of their nuclear facilities.
So what do you make of that?
Why would God send an earthquake after all the other stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's our awesome audio of the week. Today's Sign Next. The stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And before we get out of here, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign that the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Let's start in Hollywood. So a couple nights ago, the Golden Globes took place, and actor Joaquin Phoenix won the best actor for some movie he was in. I have no idea what the movie is. But his acceptance speech inspired me when Joaquin Phoenix said this.
But I think together, hopefully, we can be unified and actually make some changes. It's great to vote, but sometimes we have to take that responsibility on ourselves and make changes and sacrifices in our own lives. And I hope that we can do that. We don't have to take private jets to Palm Springs for the war sometimes or back.
Okay. So we have to make changes in our private life. And you're probably wondering, what kind of changes has Joaquin Phoenix made? And this is inspiring. And I think that everybody listening is going to be able to relate to what a sacrifice he has made. Stella McCartney, Paul McCartney's daughter, is a very noted, famous fashion designer, and she has sent out a tweet praising Joaquin Phoenix for his sacrifice to save the planet. Do you know what he's doing? Have you heard what this man is doing to save the planet?
Today's sign.
Wait. No. I already played that. In the tweet, Stella McCartney wrote, "This man is a winner. Wearing custom Stella because he chooses to make choices for the future of the planet. He has also chosen to wear the same tuxedo for the entire award season to reduce waste. I am proud to join forces with you." Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Joaquin Phoenix is willing? I'm sorry. That he would be willing to do this for you and me? The man is going to wear the same $10,000 tuxedo to every award show? What a sacrifice. What a man. What a way to live your values. Now, of course, if you really wanted to help the planet, you would cancel all the Hollywood award shows. And nobody would have to arrive in stretch limos and fly in for the award shows. But if they're going to have the shows no matter what, Joaquin Phoenix is going to wear the same tuxedo. I mean, back in the day, we considered it gauche to wear the same tuxedo to every award show. But now, to save the planet, Joaquin, I love you. Next up, today's sign? New Jersey. Oh, the New Jersey Shore, Monmouth. I love Monmouth Park. What a classic racetrack, old grandstand. But be careful getting to the racetrack in Monmouth, New Jersey, because Lois Paulson has just renewed her driver's license. Lois turned 105 in September. Lois says she still has good vision and dexterity to complete the detailed efforts of driving. I'm sorry. We got a minimum age for driving, 16? Should probably be 18, but that's another subject. I'm saying that now, but my wife and I were thrilled when our girls each turned 16, and we got a little more freedom ourselves in our own lives from having to drive them everywhere. So that's selfish of me. Keep it at 16. But we need a maximum age, don't we? I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure it's below 105 to be out on the roads. So just be careful. That's all I'm trying to say. And then finally in today's sign. Oh, man. Things are getting bad in Trump's America. Singer Cardi B is blasting President Trump for last week's airstrike that killed Iranian general, murderous, bloodthirsty terrorist Soleimani. Cardi B has informed her Twitter followers that she's applying for Nigerian citizenship amid the heightened tensions between Iran and the United States. She said that the president's putting lives in danger, and that's why she's planning to take her husband, Offset, and her daughter, Culture, with her to Nigeria. And so, look, I'm glad that the world is safer. I'm glad we got rid of a terrorist who had killed hundreds of our servicemen and women. But I didn't know we were going to lose Cardi B because of all this. I'm going to have to rethink everything now. And all of this is today's sign, the end is near, and I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for this week, but I will go home, think up a bunch of great new stuff for Monday's show. Sunday, we got Seahawks football. High noon is when our playoff coverage will begin. The Seahawks and the Packers from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. I'll be on the air with our pregame coverage with all my co-hosts at noon Sunday, and we'll take you right up to the 3:40 kickoff. And you will hear the game, of course, right here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I will see you Sunday for Seahawks football, and I'll see you back here Monday, high noon. Now it's a crib with a gay. Rolly got charms, a life was to play. Hard to let these lefties know, just in case these forgot. Let me just say, as I ease out of the office I helped build, that there is such a thing as manners, a way of treating people. These fish have manners. In fact, they're coming with me. I'm starting a new company, and the fish will come with me.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.